We have news about the student loans that eroded Social Security. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Thousands of Americans have been losing sizable chunks of their Social Security checks to pay back federal student loans they still owe. A new study from the Government Accountability Office finds that sometimes getting docked for the old student loans drops people's income below the poverty line. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins us from Washington. First, why does the government do this?
So, David, the idea is that if you have a loan in default from the federal government, the government should be able to get the money back. So if you start getting a Social Security check, they can withhold up to 15% of your payment in what they call an offset. For older borrowers, the typical offset is about $140 a month.
And taxpayers are ultimately on the hook for unpaid federal student loans. Does this approach actually work in terms of getting the money back?
Somewhat. So, for example, in 2015, about 10% of what the Department of Education collected in defaulted student loan debt came from these offsets. The GAO's Allison Bodden talked about these borrowers in a podcast the agency released with the report.
For about a third, offsets do achieve a desired outcome in that after 5 years, loans are repaid or they're being repaid. But for about another third, the offsets have little to no effect on individual student loan balances. Sometimes those balances even increase.
That's because the withholding often goes to pay fees and interest first.
All right. Offsets, Fed speak there. How widespread is this issue of getting your Social Security docked?
The GAO says last year about 114,000 older borrowers were subject to this kind of withholding. But here's something interesting. Half of those people who were seeing the reduction weren't even getting their Social Security because they were retired. They were on Social Security disability benefits.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The U.S. stock market started lower this morning, but let's go from the short-term time frame to an annual one. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Good morning.
Good morning.
So if we quit today, we'd have the S&P 500 up 11% for the year, the Dow up more than 14%, the NASDAQ Composite up about 9.5%. It's a pretty good run. A lot of that is late this year.
It has been a great run, and if you just look at the numbers now, the change year-to-date looks very positive, and you would forget all the trials and tribulations we've been through to get here. You know, the Russell 2000, our small-cap companies, Russell 2000 value year-to-date is up over 30%. So a lot of this run, a big chunk of it, has come since the election, but it really shows you the year is ending on a high note, and everyone's forgotten how nervous and disastrous things seemed to be when we were back in February.
Yet there's still a lot of uncertainty out there, certainly global uncertainty, but also about U.S. domestic policy.
The biggest risk to the market right now is the difference between perception and reality. It's wonderful to think that all of these plans that Trump is talking about are going to come through and be able to be executed without a hitch. But the reality is a lot of this has to work through Congress. There are going to be many changes, and the market's expecting everything to come out pristine and to the market's benefit. That's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah, you think a lot of these share prices are based on this assumption that the economy gets completely deregulated and that a lot of the regulations that swirl around Wall Street are removed and that, what, infrastructure gets built?
Infrastructure gets built, a lot of money gets spent on defense, and tax cuts benefit everyone. And miraculously, the deficit doesn't grow at the same time. So there's a lot of expectation right now in these stock prices that everything works to their benefit. There are no detractors. And that's a risk for the market as we go into January. Sooner or later, reality will set in.
All right. Well, we'll be covering all this as the new administration unfolds. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas, thank you.
Thank you.
This innovation this week from AT&T. We know about spam blockers to keep junk out of our email. Now AT&T is launching something labeled Call Protect, a kind of spam filter for voice telephone calls. The company will try to identify fraudsters or pests, but users can also use an app to easily block other numbers. This kind of thing has been available as a third-party service, but this is a spam filter at the network level, which means there will be more data for AT&T to draw on when deciding which numbers are obnoxious. Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you. the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. If you could donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. You know how some people are creeped out by clowns? But how do you feel about dolls? Something about the eyes, I always thought. But maybe it is the ears. Consumer advocates are warning that certain toys could be invading children's privacy. Internet-connected interactive dolls listen to and record children's voices, often without the parents' knowledge. Groups have filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
The doll, my friend Kayla, looks like lots of other dolls, but...
My friend Kayla talks, listens to you, plays games with you, and knows millions of things.
It's the listens to you part that troubles consumer groups. Others besides the doll can listen in. Claire Gartland of the Electronic Privacy Information Center co-signed the FTC complaint.
Unfortunately, the FTC, being a large, you know, federal agency, does not always act as quickly and as nimbly as, say, Amazon or Toys R Us could in terms of immediately pulling the dolls from their shelves.
So they're asking retailers like Amazon and Toys R Us to stop selling the devices. Aradhana Krishna is a University of Michigan professor. She says the stores may want to consider giving in to the request if backlash is strong enough.
It's a two-way street. It's a give and take. So if Amazon gives now, they can expect consumers to give later.
It's about maintaining relationships. By the way, Toys R Us said in an email it stopped selling the dolls. It didn't say why. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And this week, in lieu of sending holiday parcels to you, USPS, UPS, or FedEx, I'm giving the gifts of some regenerative ideas to lift the gloom of these very short days. On Friday, it's why you shouldn't feel guilty about getting some rest, some data on that. The book today is by the Grateful Dead's former team doctor, who is part of the group that wiped out smallpox in India. Marketplace.org for the full-length version of that very interesting yarn with Dr. Larry Brilliant is his name. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.